Well, we have just a handful of announcements. You can find all of them on page 16. I just want to highlight three of those. The first, next Sunday, we will be installing Robbie Holt as our new senior pastor. We are so excited to have Robbie and would encourage you to attend, certainly in person or via live stream for that. That will happen during our worship service. Second, in the next week or so, we're going to be sending out kind of a comprehensive plan for doing ministry this fall in light of COVID-19, so please be on the lookout for that. And lastly, you probably saw some name tags, and so really in order to help Robbie and Chrissy get to know folks a little better, we have churchwide name tags. And so starting actually this Sunday, they're going to be in the lobby by your Sunday school class. And please, just when you're on campus, wear those. As you leave campus, there are boxes in the lobby. Please drop those in the boxes. We're going to sanitize them and we're going to reorganize them for next Sunday. If you would like a name tag and you don't have one, if we missed you, please see myself or Ingram Link and we'll be happy to have you one for next Sunday. So please, that's a great way for us to continue to get to know each other, but also to help Robbie and Chrissy out. Bob Schaffeld's now going to come and pray for us.
Good morning. Please bow with me in prayer. Father in heaven, as you sit on the throne of the universe in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and the privilege of worshiping with you, worshiping you today, even though we're spread out as a covenant family. Father, we do bow before you this morning, knowing that you are the one true God, the God who is who he says he is. You're never changing. Your word has been declared by the angels and has proven to be reliable. Your plans and your words stand firm forever. They are more precious than gold and sweeter than honey. Father, your love is unfailing, and even today as we see you at work at Covenant Presbyterian Church, we love you, Father. Your grace is evident, and we delight in your unconditional love for us. Lord, we desire to be used by you and to do your will here in Birmingham to your glory. We desire, Father, to love you well, and we desire to humbly bear your image. Father, give us the courage and the strength to pursue you continuously. And loving Father, please move us through your Spirit to pray without ceasing. Father, we have many needs you know well. We come this morning laying those needs before you, knowing that you hear us. Please comfort and bring healing to the families with COVID-19 and those that are anxious about exposure. Father, please protect our children, our teachers, and others in our schools as we're all going back. Father, please do bring healing to Jerry Hendon as she recovers from hip surgery, and to Patty Sitton's father as he recovers from a heart procedure. Heavenly Father, please do lay your gentle hands on John and Kira Strid. As Kira broke her ankle last week, John's grandmother died this week, and John's mother is not well. Father, we lift them up to you this morning, ask for comfort and healing. Father, we also continue to pray for healing for Mary Graham Shepherd as she recovers from back surgery. And for Lee and Jennifer and Lofton and Lucy, we praise you for the measures of strength and patience and courage you've blessed them all with, Lord. Father, as Dave mentioned, we also pray that you bless Robbie and Chrissy Holt as you begin your ministry through them here at Covenant and allow us as a Covenant family to embrace them well. We're so thankful that you brought them here, Father. Lord, also bless and protect our missionaries all over the world, especially those, Father, in areas hardest hit by the coronavirus. This morning, we specifically lift up Grace House Ministry here in Fairfield, and even more so the abused, abandoned, and neglected girls ministered to there in your name. Finally, Father, as we all acknowledge all governments are on your shoulders, please lay your hands on and bless our local, state, national and even global decision makers with wisdom and courage as they lead us. And also bless us, Father, with humility and courage to follow and submit to their direction in your honor. Heavenly Father, we desire that these prayers and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you this morning. Our Lord, our Rock, and our Redeemer. In Christ, our precious Savior's name, we do pray. Amen.
Well, good morning, Covenant Presbyterian Church. It's a joy to be with you and to preach God's Word this morning. I almost gave Tyler a heart attack. I was sitting there and I did not have a microphone on, so we've rectified that, Tyler. I think we're good to go. But it is a joy. It's a joy to see our college students who are back, especially our Sanford students, our UAB students. It's just a joy to have them back in Birmingham, and I know they've had a wild ride over the past 6 or so months. So welcome home. Welcome back to Covenant and to Birmingham. We're continuing on this morning in a little brief study in God's Word. Robbie gave us a task to preach a handful of sermons that are all centered on the Word of God. And you'll notice throughout our order of worship this week and in the coming weeks that every single text that we've selected is honing in on God's Word. This morning in Mark, Jesus came proclaiming the good news. The kingdom is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. And then in 2 Peter, as we're going to see in just a few minutes, we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed. And so in our text this morning, we're continuing in Isaiah, a passage which is rooted deeply in the word of God. And Sandy reminded us last week, as only Sandy could do, that we must stand on God's word because it is the only thing that stands forever. And Isaiah continues on with this theme as we move through Isaiah 40. And I imagine that this morning that there are some really weary and anxious people. If y'all are like me, we're anxious and we're really weary. We're weary from the COVID-19 pandemic. We're weary from another nasty election cycle that's on the horizon. We're anxious about the future. We're weary from work or home or both, so it turns out. We're weary from making tough choices where we feel like every decision we make is either going to lead to our health failing or our business or our financial standing failing. We're weary and anxious about school and about our kids. We're weary. And we desperately need good news. We desperately need good news. And thankfully, Isaiah gives us just that this morning. So I invite you to stand with me as we read God's word. But before we do, let's go to him in prayer and ask for his blessing. Almighty and merciful Father, we come before you now and we ask that you would open your word to us. As we just sang, these are ancient words, ever true. And we ask that by the power of your Spirit that you would use them to change us, to transform us into the image of Christ. We've come with open hearts. Let the ancient words impart the grace of Jesus to weary souls. We pray all of this in his name. Amen. Let's read in Isaiah 40, verses 9 to 11. Go on up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. All flesh is like grass and all its glory is like the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flower fades. But the word of our God stands forever. Amen. Please be seated. If I'm being honest with you, this season has been really difficult. The COVID-19 stuff, the loneliness, the isolation, the angst of school decisions, the distaste of another election cycle, all the things I mentioned earlier, it's all been really difficult. And I think part of the reason is because of the relentless onslaught of bad news. Our 24/7 news cycle does us no favors. It's kind of like you've been water skiing behind a boat and you fell, but you forgot to let go of the rope and you're just water coming in at every hole in your face. That's how it feels. And there are even memes, if you know what a meme is, going around about how every month of this year has gone from bad to worse. Most of these are really funny. And the saying is true. If you're not laughing, you're crying. That's 2020. That's 2020 in a nutshell. And I think this is why the short YouTube video series, Some Good News, which was created by actor John Krasinski, it went out earlier this summer. That's why it got nearly 75 million hits. It was a worn video series. People were clamoring to get more of Some Good News. That's because that's what we wanted. We needed these feel-good stories of the human spirit and of human ability to make our lives feel better. And I think it resonated so deeply with a lot of people, with me, because it got to the heart of what we're all desperately longing for. We are desperate for stories of redemption, for heroes. We're desperate for strength and compassion. We're desperate for things to be made right. So as good as that short video series was, you know, it made you feel good, it made you laugh a little bit, but as soon as you put your screen down and looked back at your life and at the world, you realized just how awful things really were. Those feelings faded pretty quickly. And so I suggest to you that what we desperately need this morning is some eternal good news. We need to see and hear again and again and again the good news of the triune God and His Word. And that's exactly what the Lord, through His prophet Isaiah, gives us in Isaiah 40. There are three questions I want us to ask and answer that I think will help us understand this passage. And the first we'll see in verse 9. What is the good news? The second question we'll see in verses 10 and 11. Why is this news good? And then the last question, we'll go back to verse 9 and we'll ask ourselves, how do we respond to this good news? So I think in answering those questions, we'll be able to rest in some eternal good news that our souls really need. So the first question, what is the good news? Well, I think in order to understand good news, it's really good to understand the context that the news comes into. And so if you remember, as Sandy was preaching last week, and if you've done any reading in the book of Isaiah, you know that Isaiah, who had prophesied over a span of about 40 years, he had a pretty decent ministry. Well, he was preaching to God's people, and they had endured some hardship. There was infighting between God's people, the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah, a bloody sibling rivalry, so to speak. There was an enemy nation to the north in Assyria, who, in God's providence, eventually swept through and exiled the northern kingdom in a very nasty fashion. Not to mention the overwhelming sin and rebellion within God's own people. Hypocrisy, greed, self-indulgence of their leaders, and a prosperity for some that led them to profess the Lord with their lips, even though their hearts were far from Him. And then Isaiah is given this vision of God's people in Judah going into exile in Babylon, this nasty nation. And so God's people may have been wondering, either God has forsaken His sinful, rebellious people, and rightfully so, or He was not the true king. He was not the Lord of history, and He had indeed fallen to some other gods. And so here Isaiah is given a sweet and beautiful and powerful message to deliver to God's people. And you see it in the words in verse 9, herald of good news. That word in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, and written in the 200s BC, is euangelizo. That's the word in the New Testament that we most often translate as the gospel, the good news. This is how the New Testament writers understood the good news. And here it is. Here is the good news, the gospel. Behold your God. This is it. This is the good news. God Himself is coming. Behold, your God comes. We would almost read over that and move on. But let's stay there. This is God, the true creator of all things in heaven and earth, who made all things by the word of His power, coming. It's the one infinite, eternal, and unchangeable being who exists outside of time and space who is coming. It's the majestic and glorious King of all creation whose glory and holiness are so powerful that it would kill a man on the spot. He's the sustainer of the world who in His mercy and grace sustains all things and gives all His creatures all that they need. And most importantly, this is the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the one that we need. This is who is coming. Isaiah is saying that the good news is nothing less than the divine presence of God Himself. The triune God is coming and God's people will see Him. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the transcendent and infinite holy God coming into creation? It would shake the very foundations of the world, as it does throughout the Old Testament. When God shows up, there are thunder and earthquakes and lightning. Earthquakes when His presence comes. But friends, here's what's even more amazing. As Billy Graham said, the gospel has never changed. The good news for you is the same good news for God's people in Isaiah's time. Only the tense has changed. It's not God is coming. It is the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. As Isaiah cries in Isaiah 40, "Behold, your God is coming," so John the Baptist cries out, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He has come." The good news for us today is that God Himself and the divine Son, the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus, has come and we have Him. We can get so caught up thinking we need to detail and outline the atonement or the order of salvation, and we can end up making the good news about man, about us. But friends, the good news is Him. The good news you desperately need this morning is God, the infinite and eternal unchangeable being coming in the person of His Son Jesus, and we have Him. This is the only news that will satisfy weary souls. Nothing less than God Himself can do that. As one of our church fathers, Augustine, once said, he said this, "Lord, even if I were to receive from You all that You have created, then Your servant could not be content unless You gave Yourself also." And so He has. He has come. And this is the good news we need to hear every day over and over again. But that brings us to the second question. Why is this news good? And if you've been paying attention, you might notice we have a problem. Why is the news that God Himself is coming and has come in the Lord Jesus Christ, why is that good news? Well, remember who He's coming to, right? We are a sinful, wayward people. Our sinful disposition is to trust everything but God, to provide us security, to take care of us, to provide for our needs. We trust everything rather than the Lord. And so for people like us, the God of all creation coming in to history might terrify us. And for good reason. An infinite holy God coming to finite sinful people who cannot stand before Him, that's a problem. But Isaiah reminds us, no, this is indeed good news for two reasons. First, because of our relationship with this God. Go back to what he says in verse 9. Look at the good news. Behold, what? Your God. Oh, the beauty of personal pronouns. Behold your God. And then in verse 10, this says, behold the Lord God. And I have to admit, I think our ESV Bibles do us a small disservice. You'll notice the word Lord has a capital L and then lowercase O-R-D. And God is in all caps. Well, anytime you see Lord or God in all caps, that's the ESV's way of telling you that's the divine name of God, the covenant name of God, Yahweh. So really what we have Isaiah saying here is, behold, King Yahweh. This God who is coming is the ever-faithful and ever-loving covenant God of his people. He comes in covenant love and faithfulness to sinners like us. He comes remembering the promise of Genesis 3:15 that the seed of the woman, the Redeemer, would crush the head of the serpent. He comes remembering all of his promises to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob and to Moses and to David, that I will be your God and you will be my people. I will be with you. That's the resounding promise of the whole scriptures. I will be with you. The God who has come is our God. His covenant faithfulness to us to remember mercy and to come bearing infinite unmerited grace. That's why this is good news. He comes to you in your mess and your sin and your brokenness, and he brings the healing balm of Jesus. He brings wholeness by his presence, given to you by the ministry of Jesus and the Spirit and the Word. It's good news because of our relationship to him. And secondly, it's good news because of who this God is. And you'll see this in verses 10 and 11. He is the conquering king, and he is also the tender shepherd. In verse 10, he's the conquering king. Behold your conquering king. The word Lord there, we're given a title. This is a name of God. In the Hebrew, it's Adonai. This is the true, majestic, glorious king. And with his mighty hand and outstretched arm, he has come to judge all that is wrong in the world, all the sin and evil that is present, and to bring salvation to his people with that same arm. And you see this throughout the scriptures and powerfully in the Exodus event. All of you, especially if you read the Jesus Storybook Bible like I do, in the Exodus event, you see that God's people, what they are to see and remember is that with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, he both judged the nations and then made a way of salvation for his people. And what was foreshadowed in the Exodus event is made perfectly clear in the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 8, and really the whole New Testament, they apply the word Lord, Adonai, to Jesus. He's the Kurios. He's the true king. Jesus is Lord, Paul says. And as king, he fulfills this ministry of kingship by subduing us to himself, by ruling and defending us, and by conquering all his and our enemies. And how does he do it? By the power of his cross. By the power and the efficacy of the cross of Christ. God has come with a mighty arm and laid judgment on your sin, on your evil, on your waywardness. And with the same arm, he has made a way of salvation for you, his people. His reward was with him. The people whom he had won to himself are with him. And his recompense before him. His judgment goes before him. Judgment on all people who were apart from him. They were and will be vanquished. All his enemies. But for those who belong to him, Jesus was vanquished so that we might receive unmerited favor, the true grace because of the person and work of Christ. And so now Jesus rules and reigns over all creation and especially over his church. And he defends his church by the word. Nothing can prevail against the church because of the power of the word. And he also conquers all of our enemies. And if you look around, we've got a lot of enemies. Our bodies are failing us. Failing health, failing financial situations, death, sin. All these things, friends, are temporary in the kingdom of grace, and they will be no more in the kingdom of glory. Behold your conquering king. But also, this is good news because he is a tender shepherd. Look at verse 11. You'll notice the two arms of our God in Christ. In verse 10, he rules mightily with his arm. And then in verse 11, he gathers lambs into his arms. It's as if he reaches down and gathers the little ones and carries them. He who is the Almighty King comes to rule and to reign as a tender shepherd who gently tends to his people. Let's just look at verse 11 again. Let's read it together again. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. I can't help but notice the tender and compassionate language matched by the strong and mighty language of verse 10. There's compassion and care that just oozes off of the page. And we see the beautiful condescension of God to his people. This is how Matthew Henry described it. Listen to this. He will gather them in when they wander. He'll gather them up when they fall. He'll gather them together when they're dispersed and gather them home to himself at last. And all this with his own arm, out of which none can pluck them. Friends, as the Apostle John reminded us, what Isaiah is describing is the Lord Jesus because he saw his glory. Isaiah is describing our Savior Jesus, who is indeed the Good Shepherd. When your faith is weak, as mine has been a time during this pandemic and isolation, he gathers you up in his arms, usually by the sweetness of his word and the stability of Christian fellowship. When your sin is overwhelming, he'll carry you in his bosom to protect you from all that assaults you, to give you rest and peace in his word. When you're tired and weary, when you are done with walking through valleys of deep darkness, he gently leads you to still waters and to new pastures. As Matthew Henry continues on, he says this, that his word is food for his flock. His ordinances are new fields for them to feed in. And his ministers and officers and lay leaders are under shepherds appointed to attend them with the word. He cares for you. He knows your frame and he knows just how feeble you are. And so he comes and he scoops you up in his arms and he pours out his grace and his comfort for you in his word. And he leads you gently. The good news is good news because the God who has come is our God. And we belong to him. It's good news because he is a conquering king and all that assails you will one day be vanquished by Christ. And he's a tender shepherd who, when your faith is weak and when you are frail, he picks you up by his word. That's why this is good news. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. So all of this leads us to our last question. How then do we respond to this good news? Well, there are two very simple and yet profound responses that Isaiah gives us. And here's the first. Behold. Behold. Right there, we forget and we fail to do that very thing every day. And if you don't believe me, I invite you at some point today to check your daily average screen time. Later. Not right now. Just see your daily average and see the increase over the past few weeks and months. We spend a lot of time beholding a lot of things other than Jesus. And our current cultural moment does us no favors. Right? The isolation of quarantine and of safe-at-home orders, it gives us a lot of time, except for parents who are both working and their kids have been at home. They have even less time. But there's a little bit more time, but yet the anxiety and the weariness of the season drives us to our screens. It drives us to the bad news cycle. It drives us to fill our mind and our eyes with things other than Jesus. And there's a myriad of temptations that are waiting to devour you on the other side of that screen. For you youth, the temptation to spend lots of your time beholding things that are going to erode your mind and your conscience are skyrocketing. For you college students, the temptation to spend lots of your time beholding things for connection or just to pass the time, they're going to become ever more dangerous for your spiritual health. And for you adults, all of the above. But even more so, the temptation to behold on an endless loop, news cycle after news cycle, and more bad news, which leads to further angst and anxiety. Or you run from those things and you start to behold all your other idols of choice for a long time. We hardly spend any time beholding the beauty and the glory and the majesty of Jesus, the Redeemer. Richard Sibbes, our second son's namesake, this is what he said about the word behold in the prophets. This word was to call the people's minds up from their miseries and up from other worthless objects that deject them and might force them to despair. Why do you dwell upon your unworthiness and sin? Raise up your mind. Jesus, this is an object worth beholding in admiration. He is infinitely worth beholding. Especially for distressed souls that can see in Him whatever we need. Are you dejected? Here's comfort. Are you sinful? Here's righteousness. Are you led away by the pleasures of this world where in Him we have all our pleasures forevermore, all in Christ? As Matthew Henry said, only a sight of His glory and nothing else can satisfy our souls. That's what we need. And we do this by opening His Word. As we just sung, these ancient words, they impart to us the beauty of Christ, and we see Him, we have Him. Go to His Word, sing it, pray it, dance to it, celebrate it. Behold the glory of Christ. And then our second response, for those people who have spent much time beholding Christ, we can't but lift up our voices. And you see this in verse 9. Those who have received the good news, those who have seen the good news, what do? They go up to a high mountain. O Zion, herald of good news, lift up your voice with strength. O Jerusalem, herald of good news, lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. As the writer of Hebrews said, God has spoken in Jesus. Who could keep silent? This is our task. This is our mission. We not only have heard the good news, but we have it. We have it in Christ. And so here's our task. In your families, parents to children and children to parents, remind one another of the good news every day. Say to one another, behold our God. Look at all that He has done for us. Look at all that we have in Him. When you invite friends slowly over to your front yard to safely have dinner, distance with megaphones, remind one another of the good news. Say to one another, behold our God. Look at all that He has done for us. Friends, your job is not to save souls. Your job, your mission is to lift up your voice and point. It's to point people, invite them to see what you have graciously been given to see. Point them to the majesty of Jesus and say, look at Him. Behold him. The Lord Jesus, he is the good news. For all of us who are weary and anxious and desperate for good news, if you're anything like me, then that's you too. Look to Jesus. Behold him who is worth beholding. He is the good news. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty and merciful God, we thank you that in your coming, we have seen your glory in the face of Jesus. The good news is not some abstract principles or not some moral principles for us to live by. The good news is the very person of Jesus, the God-man, the only redeemer of God's elect. He is the good news because in him we are united to him in the Godhead and we partake of the riches and the mercies of Christ. Would you impart these truths to weary souls? Would you drive us deeper to the Word so that we might behold him more and to savor it and to enjoy him more? So that the only natural result of our beholding is to lift up our voice and say, look at all that he has done. We pray these things in the name of the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.